The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today, our first story is from Winnie the Pooh Stories, and this one is called In Which Pooh Goes Visiting and Gets Into a Tight Space by A.L.A. Milne. Edward Bear, known to his friends as Winnie the Pooh, or Pooh for short, was walking through the forest one day, humming proudly to himself. He had made up a little hum that very morning, as he was doing his stoutness exercises. Stoutness means a little bit plump, in front of the glass. Tra-la-la, tra-la-la, as he stretched up as high as he could go. And then, tra-la-la, tra-la-la, oh, help, la, as he tried to reach his toes. After breakfast, he had said it over and over to himself until he learnt it off by heart. And now he was humming it right through properly. It went like this. Tra-la-la, 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 tra-la-la. Rum-tiddle-tiddle-um-tum. Tiddle-iddle, 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 tiddle-iddle. Rum-tum-tum, tiddle-tum. Well, he was humming this hum to himself, and he walked along happily, wondering what everyone else was doing and what it felt like being somebody else, when suddenly he came to a sandy bank. And in the bank was a large hole. Aha, said Pooh. Rum tum tiddle um tum. If I know anything about anything, that hole means rabbit, he said. And rabbit means company. And company means food and listening to me humming and such like. Rum-tum-tum-tiddle-um. So he bent down and put his head into the hole and called out, Is anybody at home? There was a sudden scuffling noise from inside the hole, and then silence. What I said was, Is anybody at home? Called out Pooh very loudly. No, said a voice. And then added, You needn't shout so loud. I heard you quite well the first time. Bother, said Pooh. Isn't there anybody there at all? Nobody. Winnie the Pooh took his head out of the hole and thought for a little. And he thought to himself, There must be somebody there, because somebody must have said nobody. So he put his head back in the hole and said, Hello, Rabbit, isn't that you? No, said Rabbit, in a different sort of voice this time. But isn't that Rabbit's voice? I don't think so, said Rabbit. It isn't meant to be. Oh, said Pooh. He took his head out of the hole and had another think. And then he put his head back in the hole and said, Well, could you very kindly tell me where Rabbit is? He has gone to see his friend Pooh Bear, who is a great friend of his. But this is me, said Bear, very much surprised. What sort of me? Pooh Bear. Are you sure? Said Rabbit, still more surprised. Quite sure, said Pooh. Oh, well then, come on in. So Pooh pushed and pushed his way through the hole, and at last he got in. You were quite right, said Rabbit, looking at him all over. It is you. Glad to see you. Well, who did you think it was? I wasn't sure. You know how it is in the forest. One can't have anybody coming into one's house. One has to be careful. And what about a mouthful of something? Pooh always liked a little something at 11 o'clock in the morning, and he was very glad to see Rabbit getting out plates and mugs. And when Rabbit said, Honey or condensed milk with your bread, He was so excited that he said both, and then, so as not to seem greedy, he added, "But don't bother about the bread, please." And for a long time after that, he said nothing, until at last, humming to himself in a rather sticky voice, he got up, shook Rabbit lovingly by the paw, and said that he must be going. "Must you?" said Rabbit politely. "Well," said Pooh, "I could stay a little longer if you, and he tried very hard not to look in the direction of the pantry. "As a matter of fact," said Rabbit, "I was going out myself directly." "Oh, well, I'll be going on. Goodbye." "Well, goodbye if you're sure you don't want to have any more." "Is there any more?" Pooh asked quickly. Rabbit took the covers off the dishes and said, "No, there wasn't." "I thought not," said Pooh, nodding to himself. "Well, goodbye. I must be going on." So he started to climb out of the hole. He pulled with his front paws and pushed with his back paws, and in a little while his nose was out in the open again, and then his ears, and then his front paws, and then his shoulders, and then... "Oh, help," said Pooh, "I better go back in." "Oh, bother," said Pooh, "I shall have to go on." "I can't do either," said Pooh, "oh, help and bother." Now, by this time, Rabbit wanted to go for a walk, too, and finding the front door full, he went out by the back door and came round to Pooh and looked at him. "Hello," he asked, "are you stuck?" "No," said Pooh carelessly, "just resting and thinking and humming to myself." "Here, give us a paw." Pooh Bear stretched out a paw, and Rabbit pulled and pulled and pulled. "Ow," cried Pooh, "you're hurting." "The fact is," said Rabbit, "you're stuck." "It all comes," said Pooh crossly, "of not having front doors big enough." "It all comes," said Rabbit sternly, "of eating too much." "I thought at the time," said Rabbit, "only I didn't want to say anything." And Rabbit said, "And I knew it wasn't me," he said. "Well, well, I shall go and fetch Christopher Robin." Christopher Robin lived at the other end of the forest. And when he came back with Rabbit and saw the front half of Pooh, he said, "Silly old bear," in such a loving voice that everyone felt quite hopeful again. "I was just beginning to think," said Bear, sniffing slightly, "that Rabbit might never be able to use his front door again, and I should hate that."
"So should I," said Rabbit.
"Use his front door again?" said Christopher Robin. "Of course he'll use his front door again."
"Good," said Rabbit. "If we can't pull you out, Pooh, we might push you back in."
Rabbit scratched his whiskers thoughtfully and pointed out that when once Pooh was pushed back in, he was back. And, of course, no one was more glad to see Pooh than he was. Still, there it was. Some lived in trees and some lived underground and...
"You mean I'd never get out?" said Pooh.
"I mean," said Rabbit, "that having got so far, it seems a pity to waste it." Christopher Robin nodded. "Then there's only one thing to be done," he said. "We shall have to wait for you to get thin again."
"How long does it take getting thin again?" asked Pooh anxiously.
"Oh, about a week, I should think. But I can't stay here for a week."
"You can stay here all right, silly old bear. It's getting you out which is so difficult."
"We'll read to you," said Rabbit cheerfully. "And I hope it won't snow," he added. "And I say, old fellow, you're taking up a good deal of room in my house. Do you mind if I use your back legs as a towel rack? Because, I mean, there they are, doing nothing, and it would be very convenient just to hang the towels on them."
"A week," said Pooh gloomily. "What about meals?"
"I'm afraid no meals, said Christopher Robin.
because of getting thin quicker. But we will read to you." Bear began to sigh, and then he found he couldn't because he was so tightly stuck, and a tear rolled down his eye as he said, "Finn, would you read a sustaining book, such as would be a great help and comfort to a stuck bear wedged in great tightness?" So, for a week, Christopher Robin read that sort of book at the north end of Pooh, and Rabbit hung his washing on the south end. And in between, Bear felt himself getting thinner and thinner. And at the end of the week, Christopher Robin said, "Now." So he took hold of Pooh's front paws, and Rabbit took hold of Christopher Robin, and all Rabbit's friends and relations took hold of Rabbit, and they all pulled together. And for a long time, Pooh only said, "Ow," and then, "Oh," and all of a sudden, he said, "Pop," just as if a cork were coming out of a bottle. And Christopher Robin and Rabbit and all Rabbit's friends and relations went head over heels backwards, and on top of them came Winnie the Pooh, free at last. So, with a nod of thanks to his friends, he went on with his walk through the forest, humming proudly to himself. But Christopher Robin looked after him lovingly and said to himself, "Silly old bear." Our next story is Cinderella. Once there was a girl named Ella who was good and kind and beautiful, but her stepmother was vain and selfish, and her two stepsisters were just as bad. They made Ella do all the hard work, since she was often covered in dirt and cinders, which are ashes from the fireplace. They called her Cinderella. One night, the prince was having a grand ball, but Cinderella's stepmother would not let her go. Alone and lonely, Cinderella began to cry. Her tears were falling freely when her fairy godmother appeared. Tapping things with her magic wand, the fairy godmother changed a pumpkin into a splendid coach. Six mice turned into horses, and a rat became the coachman. Then the fairy godmother touched Cinderella with her wand. Instantly, instead of rags, Cinderella wore a pink gown and silver slippers. Smiling, the fairy godmother said, "Do not stay late at the ball, my dear, for at the stroke of midnight, the magic will end and will be as all was before." When Cinderella arrived at the ball, everyone stopped to stare. Her stepsisters, who did not recognize her, were very jealous. The prince thought Cinderella was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen, and he asked her to dance all through the night. She was having so much fun that she forgot to think about the time. Bong, bong, bong. The clock began to strike midnight. Suddenly, Cinderella ran out the door and down the steps. One of her silver slippers fell off, but she kept running. As the clock struck 12, her beautiful gown turned to rags, and her coach disappeared. All she had left was one silver slipper. The prince was very sad. When he found a silver slipper on the palace steps, he and his men traveled throughout the kingdom, trying the slipper on every lady's foot. At last, the slipper was brought to Cinderella's ugly stepsisters. They pinched their heels and curled their toes, but the slipper didn't fit. Then Cinderella said softly, "May I try?" The stepsisters and stepmother laughed at her for thinking that she could fit that silver slipper. The prince ran in to find that the slipper fit her perfectly. When he took one look into Cinderella's good, kind face, he knew that she was his princess. There was a grand wedding. Cinderella and her prince danced well past midnight, and they enjoyed each other's company ever after. Our next book is Lousy, Rotten, Stinkin' Grapes by Margie Palatini. Fox eyed a bunch of tantalizing grapes hanging from a vine growing high up on a tree. "Those juicy morsels are for me," he said with a grin. The problem was, Fox was only so high, and the grapes were so high. "No matter," said he. "I am sly and clever and smart. After all, I am a fox." And so he made a plan. Add this to that, multiply that to this, subtract here from there, carry the two minus the one, and voila! Grapes! Scott, hop, skip, jump, flying leap, and no grapes. He fell straight to the ground into the thicket. He climbed out of the thicket and brushed off his coat. Perhaps a bit of a boost is needed. But where to get a boost? Grunt, grunt, grunt. Fox turned, and then he grinned. "Why, Bear, old buddy, I say, do you like grapes?" "Grapes," said the bear. Do I? I think I do. I think I do. Yep, I do. Excellent. Look and listen. Here's the plan, explained Fox. You stand here, and I will stand on your head there. And on the count of three, you give a bit of a boost, and voila, we'll be at the grapes. Bear looked at the plan. He looked at the grapes, and he looked at the tree. He stared at his big front paws and thought, you know there, Fox. I'm thinking maybe I could just wrap my paws. Ta-ta-ta-ta, interrupted Fox. Bear, 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 my dear dim buddy. Your job is brawn, not brain. You leave the thinking to me. After all, I'm the fox. Clever, smart, sly. I know how to get grapes. And Bear said, if you say so. So Bear stood there. Fox climbed up on him and stood on the top of Bear's head. Fox counted. One, two, three, and Bear gave him a boost. But once again, no grapes. Because Fox fell right off Bear and landed on his bottom. Fox brushed off his coat and straightened his nose. Maybe a little more lift, thrust, and oomph is needed here. Bear shrugged. If you say so. Now, where to find oomph? Pat, slap, pat. Slap, pat, slap. Fox peered down at the pond, and he grinned. Why, Beaver, my dear pal, I say, do you like grapes? Grapes, said Beaver. Oh, yes, indeedy, indeedy I do. Excellent, said Fox. Look and listen. Here's the plan, explained Fox. Bear stands here. You stand on Bear's head there. I will stand on your tail. And on the count of three, Bear gives a boost, and you give an oomph, which brings me there. And voila, there are the grapes. Beaver looked at the plan. He looked at the grapes. And he looked at the tree. He tapped his front tooth and thought, Fox, I'm thinking if I just start a chewing on that tree. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, interrupted Fox. Beaver, 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 my dentally challenged chum. You just mind the oomphing. Leave all that thinking to me. After all, I'm the fox, sly, clever, and smart. I know how to get grapes. So Beaver shrugged. If you say so. Bear stood there, and Beaver stood on Bear's head there, and Fox stood on Beaver's tail. One, two, three. Bear gave an oomph, and Beaver lifted his tail, and out shot Fox. Boom. Once again, he landed in the brambles. No grapes. Just needed an inch or two more. Scooch! Fox measured this. He weighed that. He turned around and grinned. Why, Porcupine, you are a short scooch of a fellow. Do you like grapes? Grapes, said Porcupine. I suppose I do enjoy a grape or two now and then. Excellent. Look and listen. Here's the plan, exclaimed Fox. Bear stands here. Beaver stands there. You stand on Beaver's tail. I stand on you. And on the count of three, Bear boosts Beaver as Beaver oomphs while you scooch, which brings me right up there. And voila, we're at the grapes. Porcupine looked at the plan. He looked up at the grapes. He looked at his back full of quills. Excuse me, Fox, but I have a suggestion. Perhaps if I just point my quill... Ta, 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 interrupted Fox. Porcupine, my little friend, let us not get all prickly. You just be a scooch and leave the ideas all to me. After all, I'm the fox. Clever, smart. I know how to get grapes. Porcupine shrugged. If you say so. Bear stood there. Beaver stood on Bear's head, right there. Porcupine stood on Beaver's tail. Fox very carefully got on Porcupine's back. One, two, three, and all the animals did what they were supposed to do, but no grapes again. Fox rubbed his feet. He pulled a bramble from his tail. He uncurled his whiskers. What might be helpful is a wee catch and a swing, said Fox, with pencil and eraser. Yes, catch and swing should work, definitely. Beaver looked at Bear, who looked at Porcupine. The three shrugged. If you say so. Fox spied two tiny eyes peeking through a bush. Ah, Possum, my dear, do you like grapes? Me, whispered Possum shyly. Why, yes, I do. Yes, indeedy, I do like grapes. Thank you for asking. I like grapes very much. Fox grinned. Excellent. Look and listen. Here's the plan. Bear stands here. Beaver stands on Bear's head. There. Porcupine stands on Beaver's tail. I stand on Porcupine, and you stand on me. So on, so on, and so on, etc., 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 which lifts you, whose tail curls around here, then swings back to me, who I grab, ending up there in the tree, and voila, here come the grapes. Possum stared at the grapes. She stared at the branch, and she stared at the plan. Pardon me, said Possum, but it all seems so confusing and so complicated. Perhaps if I just climb the tree... Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, interrupted Fox. Possum, 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 my pet. Now don't worry those few little hairs on your extremely unattractive head. Trust me, my dear. After all, I am the fox. I am the one here who is sly, clever, and smart. I know how to get grapes. So Possum blinked. If you say so. So, Bear stood here. Beaver stood there. Porcupine stood on Beaver's tail. Fox stood carefully on Porcupine. And Possum stood on Fox, ready to swing into action. One, two, three, and boost, oomph, scooch, swing. Uh-oh, no grapes again. What you doing? Asked Skunk. Blast that bunch of fruit grouse fox crawling out from under all the animals that had fallen over on top of him. There is simply no possible way to get those grapes, and that is that. Possum looked at Porcupine, who looked at Beaver, who looked at Bear. I can run up the tree and toss them down, said Possum. I can aim and shoot them down, said Porcupine, with my quills. I can cut them down, said Beaver. I could give the tree a shake, said Bear. Fox glared. Oh, really? Then why didn't one of you say something before? Well, Possum spoke up. After all, you are the fox. Sly, said Porcupine. Clever, said Beaver. Smart, said Bear. Very smart. Fox turned with a huff and a sniff. Well, do as you wish. I, for one, wouldn't think of eating those lousy, rotten, stinking grapes now. Even if I could, they're probably sour anyway. If you say so, said Bear, and off Fox marched in a huff. Possum climbed the tree, hung by his tail from a branch, and started throwing grapes down to all his friends. And there they stand, munching those delicious grapes, and Fox did not get any at all. Now I'm going to read you some tongue twisters, written by Dr. Seuss. Tongue twisters are things that if you read them slowly, they're hard to say, and if you try to read them fast, they're really hard not to get mixed up. Here goes. I'm going to try one slowly. We have two ducks, one blue, one black, and when our blue duck goes quack, quack, our black duck quickly quack, quacks back. Then quacks blue quacks make her quite a quacker, but black is a quicker quacker becker. I'm going to read it fast. We have two ducks, one blue and one black. And when our blue duck goes quack, quack, our black duck quickly quack, quacks back. The quacks blue quacks make her quite a quacker, but black is a quicker quacker becker. Oh, that was pretty good, but I'm going to try another. And speaking of quacks reminds me of cracks and stacks and sacks and shacks and schnacks. So, oh, say, can you say, I have cracks in my shack, I have smoke in my stack, I think there's a schnack in the sack on my back. That was pretty tricky. And one more. On an island hard to reach, the Eastbeth's beast sits upon his beach. Oh, looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. So, I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Series. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time, if you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138.